Now Gilbert lines up on the left side. Tremont Williams is on the right side. The spot will be at the 24. It's a 34-yard field goal attempt to win the game again with no time on the clock. Snap back, ball down, the kick is up, and the kick is good, and the Chargers win the game. To 27, San Diego beats the Browns with no time on the clock.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zegar, Matt Wilhelm here. Elk and Elk, serious lawyers for serious injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Gurr and Wilhelm will go to the phone lines now. 216-578-0850. Bodie is on his cell. He's not on the corner right now. Bodie, how are you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Good, man.
So I'm going to start off with the negatives on the defense, and I think it's pretty evident. We're not stopping the run. We're not rushing the passer at all.
No.
And I looked at our schedule yesterday, and my jaw drops because it's going to get rough, man. And offensively, I like DeFilippo. I like the chemistry he has with our team. You can see the chemistry between McCown and Benjamin. You can see it starting to get better. Big play Garrett balled out yesterday.
He did, 2 weeks in a row.
And I feel so much better about the future of our offense instead of the defense. Because Manziel, he showed me something, but you can definitely see Josh McCown, guiding this offense. Because Travis Benjamin, he can ball. Like, I don't want to hear Wynn got playmakers. He's a good receiver. He can go deep. He can catch the ball over the middle. So that's pretty much what I got to say.
I think Travis Benjamin's our best offensive player right now, even with Duke having the day he did yesterday. And if you watch the television broadcast or go back and watch the route running that Travis Benjamin is doing, is he is steering his ship like a very good wide receiver. Yep. And I believe that his early success with the deep ball creates a cushion that allows him to run those intermediate routes, and Josh McCown delivered them multiple times yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with that. And what I wanted to say earlier about John DeFilippo that I find to be very, very impressive is his ability to anticipate coverages is very good. Whenever he dials up one of his what you'd call a shot play,
yep,
he gets the look he wants. And I know it from talking to the players. Duke Johnson was thrilled when that play was called. He's like, I hope we get the defense we want. And as soon as he motioned out the linebacker phone, he's like, got it.
Well, to laugh and be positive in this moment right now, did you look at Manti Te'o and Donald Butler when we shifted both backs out? They were like, you want Duke? I'll take you. You take him? You take him.
Yeah.
And it was like they were bantering back and forth about it doesn't matter. At some point, line up and cover one. You don't want to cover none. So you take him, I got him. But they knew the threat.
Absolutely.
And that is one of the situations, to your point, that I continually talked about, and I'm sure it's something we're going to see as the season goes on, where we didn't line up in that formation. We exploded to that formation where, Dre was aligned left. He went over to the right. Travis Benjamin widened out. Whoever the outside receiver widened out a little bit to create space in that trips formation towards the Cleveland Browns bench.
Yep.
And then you got Duke. Was it Duke and Malcolm Johnson?
All the way on the left.
All the way on the left. They explode out. You get two back. So that is a once a season type of formation. Something that the Chargers had not seen yet. And I think at that point in time, based on something similar in their film study, they knew what to expect. And I think because of Weddle adjusting over and taking Dre, who's the tight end, you don't want to have Weddle on a back, so you're going to put a linebacker on a back, and you like that matchup all day, just like the San Diego Chargers like Ladarius Green on Dante Whitner.
Absolutely, and you, Duke Johnson, the result was a 34-yard touchdown. He had the big play. Isaiah Crowell, the longest play of the day, the 53-yarder with his catch and run, looked very good, nice stiff arm, some elusiveness, and then ran a guy over to finish that one off. It's just impressive to me that I thought John DeFilippo continues to get the most out of this offense and continues to put them in situations where they have a high probability of success. And we've seen it a couple times now. One of them was just another explosion, as you like to call it, where everybody shifts at once, was the play that Barnage had for 17 yards. I believe it was against the Titans. It was just they motioned out, and they knew he was completely uncovered, and he had a quick out, and he went for 17 yards. John DeFilippo was doing a hell of a job, and I love the way that this offense seems to want to be fighting for him. I still think this offensive line needs to pick up its level of play, but at least they were getting some surge in the running game. He was still under pressure too much for my taste, but overall, this offense is the thing that you've got to be pleased with. But I can tell you, there is never a day in which I envision a game in which the Cleveland Browns would put up over 400 yards of total offense. Their quarterback would be 32 of 41 for 356 and 2. You'd have two running backs over 100 total yards, which is the first time that's happened for the Browns, by the way, since 2004. And yet it would not be enough given this defense. I would think 27 points, that would be an automatic W.
And you know what it boils down to? And this is just being a fan of the National Football League and watching football games each and every Sunday, and then, of course, throughout my career. And it's when you have playmakers and a number of playmakers that don't shy away from the moment and make plays when they're needed most. And I think that is something that we've said all offseason long is we have guys – you know, and I think some have emerged. Travis Benjamin's a guy that emerged. I think after yesterday, you got to feel real good about the running backs in Duke and Isaiah Crowell. But look at it defensively. When's the last time when, and again, being a fan of football, and I'm talking to all of you out there, watch another game, and when a play needs to be made and the crowd's going crazy, that forced fumble, that sack, that pass breakup, or that covered sack, that the team rises to the occasion. I feel like that is something. And a lot of it has to do with continuity, and a little bit has to do with play calling that we're missing defensively.
And it also, yeah, and it has to do with guys just coming out and making plays and taking it on themselves to get it done. And it has not happened, and it did not happen again in this one. I mean, the Browns had the ball in this game for 34 minutes and 19 seconds. They had 432 yards of total offense. You would think that'd be enough. How about Travis Coons, another 4-for-4 on his field goals, continues to be a bright spot as well. Let's go to Don in Solon now. Don, welcome to the show.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good. How are you?
Good. Very disappointing loss, and I'm disappointed in the defense. I did get a little tired of listening to the announcers talk about, and I know that San Diego was depleted, and, we were pretty depleted too. And, you know, not to make excuses, there are no excuses, but there were injuries on both sides of the ball. And we were a 5-point underdog or a 7-point underdog going into this game. I didn't hear a whole lot of positive news before that. That being said, the one thing that does disappoint me, well, actually a couple of things, are some of these older veterans, especially some of these guys that we signed as free agents, one in particular, Dwayne Bowe. Again, nothing out of him yesterday. And, you know, we're looking at a bunch of, smaller wide receivers, Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel, Travis Benjamin, now even Duke Johnson coming out of the backfield. These guys are not over 6 feet, but they play hard. I'm just saying, let's ride the ship with them. You know, if people like that don't want to get on the field for whatever reason, they're of no use to us. And, you know, maybe it's time to start cutting our bait and put the emphasis on these younger players. Same thing goes for the defense in my mind. Matt and Nate, you might see it better than I do. I don't know what we're getting out of Randy Starks that much. I know he's a nice influence. I'd rather see more of this Xavier Cooper. I'd rather see more of Nate Orchard. I saw those guys moving around a little bit. Let's put the emphasis on them. And, you know, we keep talking about Manziel, but I don't ever hear anything about the other younger guys. Let's get them more playing time and see what they've got. Because what? I think a lot of these missed opportunities are because, you know, we got older guys that maybe can't hack it anymore.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. And I think it's an interesting take. And
it's kind of what we talked about a week ago. And
days
you're like,
ago.
What are we going to sit? This guy?
Yeah. I get it. I get those sentiments. And, you know, being here in the Dog Bowl, we get the stat sheets. And you have to look at you know, return on investment. Okay, Rob Housler, 4 plays, 0 targets, right?
Yep.
Dwayne Bowe, 4 plays, 1 target.
We threw for 356 yards, and Brian Hartline, Dwayne Bowe, and Rob Housler combined for 1 catch for 7 yards.
1 catch for 7 yards, but here's the scary thing, and I know Brian Hartline had the injury that caused him to be out, but 3 individuals that you signed via free agency this offseason amounted for 11 offensive reps. 4 for Rob Housler, 4 for Dwayne Bowe, 3 for Brian Hartline. That's all they played.
And your
not
offense,
only targets. We're not talking 11 targets. We're talking 11 plays on the field.
And your offense had arguably the best performance it's had in years.
And possessed the ball for 35 minutes.
Right. So you don't even need them.
And Cam Irving, your 22nd overall pick?
2 plays.
2 plays.
Yeah. That's not good.
That's not good.
Because you're thinking about the investment on that side, and then the investment on the other side, you know, talking about return. Think of all the draft picks. Think of all the money. We know that it's the most expensive defense in the league. Your draft picks are being thrown at it, and you're not getting that return there either. And I think that's really what is so scary. I think the offense, you look at it as a surprise. Nate Orchard, on one of those plays, he lost Danny Woodhead, and Woodhead ran for forever. Not the one where he picked up the 60 yards, but there was another one where he leaked out. And
full out chase mode.
And I just don't know if they've got the experience. But I agree, at some point, if you're playing all the veterans and you're 32nd in the NFL in total defense, you can't be worse than 32nd.
No, you can't.
So do you start playing some of the younger guys, working them in a little bit more? I don't know the answer.
That's the big question is, are you really, when you are ranked 32nd in the NFL, when are you potentially, and I talked about this in referencing Johnny Manziel, when are you fully compromising your season and feel like you have to go in developmental mode where you go, might as well start seeing what the young guys got?
And that is the question, because
it's close. We're like 2 to 3 weeks away from that.
And I hope not.
And that's a half a season left.
I hope not. I hope that the Browns find a way to get it.
Well, so do I.
I think the offense deserved better. You know, it's not often that you say that about this team. Normally you're saying, oh, the defense deserved better from the offense. But in this case, the offense deserved better from the defense.
But, and to talk about a well-balanced football team, and I talked about this last week, playing complementary football, would you say the offense won the battle with the San Diego Chargers? It's pretty close. It's almost a push, is it not?
Between our offense and their offense?
Yeah.
It's a push.
It's a push.
I mean,
they made plays, we made plays. So then, and their defense did not play well, but would you say that their defense beat our defense?
Absolutely.
No, there you go. Okay, so they won the defensive battle. We pushed the offense, and who won special teams? I would say we won. Gabriel, yeah. Benjamin averaged 20 yards a punt return, and I think Andy Lee, you know, net punted for 45 yards. Mike Cyphers, 29. So, in some cases, you won special teams, you lost defense, and you pushed offense. And that's where the point that I've made, if you have that playmaker with guts, and I think Phillip Rivers is that guy for the San Diego Chargers, put it all on him.
Well, and he's a leader.
Yeah.
And he had that too. Yeah, he had those guys rallied. Yeah, you put it on. You need to put it on them. Do you think this defense, like as you sit and watch it now, is it scheme? Are we too predictable? Are we given too many tells? I mean, because we even heard players on our team say that the Chargers knew what we were doing before we were doing it. And I even knew standing on the sideline. On the sideline, I sat there and was with the one that ended up being the touchdown, Ladarius Green. I was sitting there with Casey Kulis, and I said, "They're going to go." 4 verts,
right,
and put it up there because that's the quickest
and
thing.
Find and the easiest matchup.
And they found, and Phillip Rivers looked at it, and you could kind of see him get googly. He's like, okay, I'm going to Ladarius Green.
Here's my take on the defense. I believe at times, unlike other defenses that we see and we play against each and every weekend, we get a little too cute with our personnel. Meaning we're rotating guys in and out, in and out, in and out, trying to have the perfect personnel for the perfect down and distance that we've practiced all week long. And in some cases, like that's like Danny Shelton sitting here goes, he wants to play more. Leave the guy on the field. Leave a guy on the field. You know what I mean? Play 1 play, off 3 plays. Play 3 plays, off 3 plays. It's every place that I've been, we had one, two, three, four packages. We probably carry 10, you know, and there's so in some cases there's no continuity. And then I don't necessarily think the way in which we align, but who's on the field for us as a personnel is a tell to me.
We have so many sub-packages.
I just mean a combination of Kruger, Mingo, Orchard. Okay, if I'm an offense and you're putting in three outside guys that I know can't cover anybody, I'm quick releasing everybody. Force you to cover. My throw will beat your rush. That and I think that's what we saw a little bit yesterday.
I think we saw a ton of that.
Yeah.
24 yards a completion against the blitz. A quarterback rating of 131. 14 yards an attempt. At some point, and this is the thing that I was thinking, at some point, do you not say, all right, he's got one legitimate receiver out there. Everybody else in a pass route is a backup other than the running backs.
But their backups were winning.
Hold on. So why don't we just play coverage and smother them with seven guys in coverage?
And break up on the checkout.
Come down, tackle in front. And eventually, you'd like to think our front four is going to be able to beat three backups. Somebody will win a one-on-one. It's not Phil Rivers isn't running.
No.
He's not getting out of the pocket and running. Not happening. So at some point, do you change your philosophy and say, okay, let's play coverage. He's going to have nowhere to go with the football. And we'll tackle. And then we're going to get home. We're going to get some of those quote-unquote coverage sacks. Because every time we blitzed, he had it identified right away and was able to get the ball. And as you said, my pass is going to beat your rush.
Right. And I know we got to go to break here, Dino. And the last point that I'll make, and Nathan, and we'll grab this stat when we come back, but Phillip Rivers got off to a very slow start and was passing like at about 50%.
Yeah.
So I want to see like his second half stats, which we'll get here, versus first half or third quarter and beyond, because they went three and out to start the football game.
Yes, they did.
So we'll get that for you when we come back.
All right, when we come back, more of your phone calls as well, 216-578-0850. I know a lot of you want to chime in here today, 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.